again, and welcome to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. I'm Kevin, the host. True Wealth, of course, is sponsored by Coins Plus in Spokane, Washington, your full-service precious metals broker-dealer depository service. Coins Plus can be reached at 444-0044 in Spokane, outside Spokane, toll-free, 877-TAP-COIN. That's 877-827-2646, or through our website at coinsplus.com. For those of you who may not have noticed, I have been incognito running reruns for a long time. I mean, basically, out of the last month, I think I've been here for two shows. So that's why the reruns. There's my dad, who's one of my best friends, for sure, which is a long story. I became a believer probably, 16, 17 years ago. Fell and he has a severe traumatic brain injury, and he was life flighted to Harborview from Montana, to Harborview in Seattle for about, 16 days. And then we flew him back to Great Falls, Montana, where I'm from, and he's in bad shape, to put it lightly. And my mom, who's also a strong believer, is dealing with this. It's just very, very difficult time in the family. I've been there trying to support and help, and really probably primarily functioning as an advocate. I tell you, I've learned a lot about the medical system in the last month because I've spent nearly every day, 12 to 15 hours a day in hospitals, medical centers, care centers, just various facilities, ERs, radiology. And I'll tell you, there are definitely issues. Harborview is a level one trauma center. There are no elective surgeries there. You go there when you have had a bad day. If you wake up in Harborview, you know you have a big problem. But the main issue I think that I run into, Harborview is different. They're pretty intensive. You get back to Great Falls, things are different. One thing I've really learned about the medical system is that it's sort of a big loophole. And what I mean by that is it is big business. Some of the most profitable business on earth, and especially in America, extraordinarily, ridiculously, phenomenally, unreasonably profitable. And yet they're not under any of the accountability standards of a business. Okay, so what happens if you get bad care in a hospital? They all cover it up. People die. There is a 17% secondary infection rate in hospitals. And how did I find that out? The way I found that out is I got a journal article on probiotics. What started all this, and I don't want to do the whole show on it, but just a fair warning to y'all. My dad, about 8 years ago, had an ATV accident. He had a friend who was dying from Lou Gehrig's disease, who had a ranch in Montana, one of his best friends. And he was up there visiting, and his dying friend's son, who was maybe 30-something, and his buddy put my dad, and at the time my dad was around 70 or so, 72, and he put him on the back of an ATV and took off through some pretty heavy country and on the Smith River in Montana, which they call the Little Grand Canyon for a reason. And in a short period of time, he flipped the ATV and it was on top of him. He did a lot of damage, bruised his organs, caused some hernias. Bad shape. Probably could have, should have, would have died then, I guess, almost. And, of course, being the tough old Montana bird, he couldn't go to the doctor right away. He had to lay in bed for 5 days before he went to the doctor. When he went in, it was a little too late to deal with the internal bleeding, and it stopped. They didn't know where it came from, but he did have a couple hernias they had to repair. So they went in to repair the hernias, and when they did, a nurse anesthetist, you're going to love this one, tore his urethra with a catheter or whatever. So then from there, infections ensued, and it became a UTI, urinary tract infection, that supposedly wouldn't go away. And this urologist continued to blast my dad for the last 7 years with a variety of antibiotics. I knew he was taking them. I did off and on, I thought, and I didn't know he was on them permanently all the time. There's so many side effects of those. Cipro causes tendon and ligament ruptures. But the primary thing is these antibiotics, you guys got to understand, if you're sick and you go to the doctor and you think, oh, he flipped you some antibiotics. I went to the doctor a while ago. I was just sick, 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 and he flips me antibiotics. And I thought, you know, I'm going to wait a few days to take them, and I got better. They give everybody antibiotics for everything. They are not inert. They are not harmless. What they did to my father was they destroyed all the flora, the gut bacteria, Acidophilus. Your body has good bacteria all throughout it. If you take the bacteria that lives in just in your stomach, if you're a healthy person, and you dry it, it's 3 pounds dry, okay? That's how much bacteria you need to live. That's good. It's part of a symbiotic system that God's created. When you take antibiotics, they kill that. That bacteria exists in your ears, your nose, your eyes, your brain, all throughout your body, everywhere. And there's a lot more. The 3 pounds is just in your gut. You need it. You are a symbiotic system. That bacteria does all kinds of amazing things. What it does is it fights off bad bacteria. The good bacteria fights off bad bacteria. So they had effectually destroyed all this in my father. This led to all kinds of issues. Overgrowth of bacteria that was drug resistant and bad, C. diff and other things like this, which caused basically a continuous state of flu symptoms, which are, you know, terrible. Dehydration, extreme. And then low sodium, low nutrients, low magnesium, low phosphates, low potassium, etc. Just the minerals in general. You stop absorbing nutrition because you've got diarrhea, or it's bad, right? And so this, and then the dehydration reduces the fluid in the brain, and you fall and hit your head, and you know, and on the problem goes. So this doctor, essentially, when we got to Harborview, and the ER doctor was looking at it, and he's like, what is this? Has he really been on antibiotics 7 years? I looked at it. I said, apparently, yeah. I said, I knew it was on and off. Well, the doctor said, man, that could have killed, after a longer conversation, he said, well, that could kill him. I said, well, look at him. I mean, he was in a coma for 4 days, and now he's literally functioning at the 1 or 2 year old stage. I mean, he's can't walk, he can't talk, they can stand him up, but he doesn't know who he is, where he is. It's bad. It's bad. And this all ultimately what happened was he fell in Montana. He just went down. We don't know why. We weren't there, but he hit his head on a ceramic tile floor. And it all traces back to this continued, prescribing of antibiotics. That it's very destructive to your body. If you've been on them, you need to take probiotics. You need to take live culture probiotics, okay? You make sure they're live culture. If you go online, you read all kinds of garbage. Bodybuilders are starting to read this junk. I mean, there's always somebody, whenever a guy wants to build muscle, there's always somebody ready to take thousands of dollars from him to make it easy. Building muscle is simple. It's not simple, but the ingredients are simple. You know, it's your hormones, your testosterone, it's your nutrition, and it's how hard and heavy you work out. I mean, and of course your genetics. Well, they've got all this stuff where they're, you know, take this kind of hydrogenated, oxygenated probiotics and all that. The bottom line is you want live culture probiotics, not in tablet form and capsules. They literally will replenish the good bacteria. You'll buy them. They're expensive for the good ones. They'll say take one a day, take three a day for a week. Or take one and then go to two and three over a few days, get used to them, and then take like three a day for weeks and then come back down. Replenish that good bacteria in your stomach. You'll feel a ton better. People with all kinds of stomach problems, you'd be surprised what that'll do. I've been taking them every day since I had my appendix removed because the recent most definitive study on the appendix was that it actually creates your body's probiotics. And I'll admit, since I started taking them, I'm supposed to take one a day. I take two or three spread out or whatever. I haven't got sick. I felt great. My stomach's been fantastic. It really matters. So, you know, it's Acidophilus. It's probiotics. You need them. And if you're on antibiotics, if you ever have a doctor that has you on a continued regimen of antibiotics. And that goes for all kinds of medication, folks. You really need to ask yourself, do I need this? Do I need this medication? I know you might believe you do. You know, you're convinced. The doctor says you'll die without it. I've seen this. Chemo, all kinds of really difficult decisions. When you get to life or death, man, you put your life in the hands of the doctor. They pump you full of poison. You're fighting it. They say you're fighting the good fight. The pharmaceutical companies make $200,000. I think most of you know my mom beat stage 4.5 melanoma, and that's no exaggeration. It was all throughout her body. She's completely cancer-free to this day with an incredibly powerful nutrient supplement and diet regimen. I have it I can give it if people want it. But it's not easy. It's natural chemo. It's, high doses of different kind of mushroom tinctures, vitamin C, vitamin D, superfoods, mixes, all kinds of strong mineral mixes, Essiac tea. I mean, there's a hell of a regimen there. And there's people that won't do it. They just won't do it. They just want to trust the medical system. And you get your mastectomy, and you get your chemo, and you get your radiation. How good is that for you? People go on chemo, and literally 8-10 years later, they're done. My mom took some before she got off, and she's got issues from it. It destroys your body. It really does. You know, and everybody's got to make their own decisions, but I'll tell you, there are alternative ways. The thing is, you got to go vegan. And the truth of the matter is, folks, like it or not, if you're overweight, you got to deal with it. Your body loses and gains weight in plateaus, and it'll fight to hold, and then if you diet, it'll drop. What you need to do if you're overweight, first and foremost, is you need to watch your food quality. You need to eat, and people try to avoid carbs and go heavy protein. That's one diet that hasn't been proven. You know, that just, it can cause ketosis and everything. The simplicity of it is, trust me, I was 100 pounds heavier than I am now. I'm 6'2" and I weigh about 215, but it's structured well because I was a football and athlete. But I got up to 300 pounds at one point, and I wasn't liking it. I got my driver's license picture and I said, that's looking pretty bad. That was many years back. But what I did is I just said, you know, I'm going to eat what I need to survive. I'm going to eat to live, not live to eat. Okay. That's what you need to do. You don't starve yourself. That, you know, put your body in emergency starvation mode, you know, all that. You don't do that. You just eat well. You eat healthy. You need fruits. You need vegetables. People think a vegetarian diet is just eating fruits and vegetables. There's all kinds of beans and rice. There's all kinds of different things you can get out there, but you really need to cut back, and you got to learn, some of the foods. If you're eating out a lot, super high sodium. I mean, I had to eat out a lot on the road. I mean, it just got disgusting. It just, the sodium content's absurd, you know. It's just not good for you. And so you got to find food that's a lot less like that, more Asian-y in a lot of ways, use soy sauce or whatever. But if you have a weight problem, you just, you know, it's no different than being an alcoholic. You've got to admit you have a problem. The problem is you and your self-control. I mean, I understand some women have thyroid issues and all that, and I realize that's real in some cases, but it is a matter of self-control. You admit you have a problem, and you admit, you know, God talks about our body is our temple. You know, we have an accountability to God. There's a sin of gluttony, and you've got to know that what God meant by that is that we, you know, we make our temple look like something that isn't glorifying to God. And we need to think of that in everything we do. You know, if you're going to, you know, it's certain kinds of tattoos in certain places, I mean, it's not the temple of God, right? Well, same with the way we carry ourselves and our health. We've got to eat well. You know, we eat to live, not live to eat. And you can cut back your intake, your portions. You stop yourself. You just ask yourself, can I live on this? Can I live on this? And you may have your brain tricked when you have a heavy food disorder, an eating disorder. And really, obesity in America is a twofold issue. It's getting out of hand because it's quality of food. The calorie rich, you know, nutrient short foods are the cheaper, easier foods. I mean, the cost of a couple apples is probably about the cost of a quarter pound cheeseburger at McDonald's, really, let's face it, right? So people tend to not eat the apple. They tend to do the McDonald's thing. But, You know, you've got to look at different ways you do research. There's all kinds of different websites, naturalnews.com, LiveStrong. You know, there's different websites you can go to and just kind of educate yourself. Dr. McDougall, he's the most published doctor on nutrition ever. You know, he's helped a lot of famous people regain figures, and he's got a different diet. He's kind of an extreme vegan. I'm not a vegan. I eat a little meat. I eat, you know, everything. I totally believe in fish. I mean, Christ made that real clear. You know, red meat in moderation, great. You need it for iron and all that. But if you're eating a big steak every single night, you got a problem, right? If you're eating hamburger every night, I mean, you're not a caveman. It's not your natural way to eat. You know, God designed us to eat a lot less. If you're not a professional football player, or, you know, you're not lifting 150 pounds a day, you know, per time, you don't need all that extra beef. If you're a Viking, then yeah, you do. But I don't think most of the listeners are probably Vikings or professional NFL players. I would be happy to hear if they were. So, you know, just to kind of leave it at that, health is everything. You've heard it. There's three commodities in life that are the key factors, right? Your health, your time, and your money. Okay, you got to have all three. Health, time, money. You got to have all three. And usually the struggle is a balance, right? You don't have time, you might not have money, and you have your health. And then later in life, you start to get a little more time and a little more money, and your health is going. Then you get old, and what happens? You have a lot of time, a moderate amount of money, and bad health. And you got to find a way to balance the three. It's just really important, and you got to take care of yourself. I mean, it's simple. People who say, oh, I just look at a piece of cake and gain weight, I'm sorry, but according to physics, that is not possible, okay? Energy in and energy out. It's very simple formula. You cannot gain weight if you eat less than you expend for energy, period, okay? If you have a sedentary life, you need to cut way back. Oh, but I love my food. I love my food. Great. Think, if you're married, you've got to think about your spouse. You've got to. The two become one flesh. The two become one flesh. If you're, you know, if you are unhealthy, your spouse is unhealthy. There's no other way to look at it. And, you know, the way God builds marriage and everything else, that's an important factor with intimacy and all that other stuff. So it's just a matter of self-control. And you got to understand, in the biblical writings, Hebrew and Greek, the most important thing comes last, not first. You know how in Proverbs 6, God, it says, there's six things God hates, no seven, okay? We put the biggest thing first. They put the biggest thing last. Why? Because that's what you remember. So, when you're reading, like, the fruits of the Spirit, you know, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness. What's the last one? Self-control, okay? It's important that we control ourselves. We have to control ourselves in all we do, in all we do. And I mean, and when you have the Holy Spirit, Christ has made it so that that's the whole point where we can fulfill the law. I think I discussed Acts 21 here a while ago, where Paul came back and they said, hey, there's all these people all these Jews, thousands, that are zealous to fulfill the law, but they hear that you're out telling everybody the law is dead. You know, they make him repent. He does repent. And, because the Holy Spirit gives us the ability to fulfill the law, okay? And that means that we can do what we could not do without the Holy Spirit. And we need to live by the Spirit. The Spirit dwells within you if you're a believer. You literally have the Spirit of God within you. You have the Spirit talking to you. You have to hear the voice. It's not like you're going to hear voices in your head, because it's on a spiritual level. It's on another dimension we don't comprehend. And basically what that is it's that, as the Bible says, that still small voice. You've got to know. It's your gut. And if you learn to listen to your gut of what's right and what's wrong, and you are trying to keep your heart in line with the Holy Spirit, you will become wise. I recommend reading Proverbs each and every day. There's 31 of them. There's 31 days in a month, but the last three are optional. Every month for sure has 28 days. You read the Proverbs of the day. And the Bible's crystal clear that wisdom and understanding is more important than everything else. That's where we get where it's more, you know, where the people sing, Lord, you are more precious than diamonds and rubies. Actually, in Proverbs, that's a verse that they took out of context that says, wisdom is more precious than diamonds and rubies. Wisdom is what we want. It makes this life make way more sense. It's what the journey is about. It's God's nature to hide a thing and man's nature to find it out. Wisdom is what he wants us to seek. And so we need to live a life of wisdom and self-control and be the best that we can be. And we've got a lot of talent. You know, we've got a lot of a potential ability, each and every one of us. But if you're really honest with yourself, how much do we achieve that talent? You know, we see that consistently in government. You see a government like our initial government in the United States of America form and then flourish, and amazing things happen. And then we get the Industrial Revolution, and we start to just, you know, conquer the world, and we're creating electricity, and we're creating all kinds of power, and we've got plants, and we're growing across the United States, and we're creating phenomenal transportation. And, you know, it grows and builds and builds and grows, and highway systems, and man, look at technology go. And then we get government. And we just continue to regulate and regulate and regulate. And starting in the 80s, we started to get ridiculous, frivolous lawsuits with ridiculous judgments and settlements with runaway juries that hear stories about this and that, and they start to think, big corporation, got them. Then we get attorneys going wild, and they push more and more and more and more legislation, absolutely out of control. And now we've got everything hampered and pressed down to the point where business can't grow. Nobody can do anything. You can't develop your own real estate without going through the EPA and, you know, every other imaginable thing out there. And we've overregulated. We've become legalistic, okay, to an extreme point, to an absolute extreme level. And so this is one of the things that Trump has proposed in his quote unquote contract for with America. And I'll tell you, it was for every piece of legislation that is passed, I guess you'd call it, two need to be repealed. And I mean, folks, I will give you the fact that Donald Trump has just been something. I've been watching this the last month. I'm appalled. As most of you who listen to me know, I kind of love to talk, and I have this real fun, theory that I could probably handle it a little better than Trump does, but I would never be there to be able to do that. But one of those was to deregulate or control regulations, and that has to be done. The problem is it's probably too late. We're finding out so many things now about the American populace. I mean, let's just face it. They don't want change. People are afraid of change, are they not? And so what happens is Hillary puts out all this change. Folks, I couldn't even begin to list all of Hillary Clinton's, the stuff that's come out on WikiLeaks. It is unbelievable. She literally has two positions on everything, okay? I mean, she's flakier and phonier than you can imagine. Trump lacks tact and diplomacy. The only thing about Trump is everybody who knows him goes, my gosh, this is not the person he is. You should see him behind closed doors. His kids, he's driving his kids nuts. He's driving his campaign manager nuts. He's like, why does he have to do this? So, and then of course the media just gives him the worst possible exposure you can imagine. When I was out in Harborview in Seattle, all they had was CNN. Folks, I never knew. I never knew the media was so bad. It was 24/7 Trump bash. Nothing he ever said was right. Nothing he ever said was good. Everything was spun and twisted and jammed down and packed down. And it's sad. It's sad, sad, sad. The media is what they call the fourth estate, okay? You've got the three branches of government. The media is the fourth branch of government. The media was supposed to defend the right of the people to know. So what media branch right now is defending the right of the people to know? WikiLeaks, okay? So what do? We blast them. Oh, they're a bunch of communists. It's the Russians. Do you really believe it's the Russians, folks? So here's what happens. At one point, Donald Trump says Putin, the Russian leader, is doing a better job. He's a better leader. He's a more effective leader than Obama, right? Oh, boy, we better go off. Now the media says he loves Putin. And Obama says the other day he's got a romance with him. And now they've tied him. He's, you know, tied to Russia. This is politics. It's filth. It's filthy lies. He's never done anything with Russia. He doesn't know anybody. He said he sold one house to a Russian. That's it. But they spin. Now, all the hacks are from Russia. Russia, Russia. Lies, lies, lies. Political spin. So they, we don't want to pay attention to the lies. Folks, the truth of the matter is her WikiLeaks stuff is terrible. So Donald Trump comes out, and I'll tell you, we'll touch on her stuff here in a sec. Here's his contract with America. He wants a constitutional amendment to impose term limits on all members of Congress. That's great. I mean, folks, people say, they've got to be there to gain the power and to gain the authority and to gain. Yeah, that's because it's a corrupt system. It was supposed to be representatives of the people. We were supposed to just hire laymen to go up and represent us. It wasn't supposed to become an income providing business where you have professional politicians who become multi millionaires as politicians. These people go in with nothing and they come out 20 years later rich. I did shows maybe a year or two ago on the fact that the average election age of a new congressman was like 46 or something like that. Senators were like, or maybe it was 42 for a congressman, 46 for a senator. And a Senate position guaranteed on average a future income of about $50 million. A congressional position guaranteed a future income of about $35 million, I'm guessing. I don't remember the exact numbers. But the point is, no wonder they fight tooth and nail for these positions. They are fighting for huge future income, power, pull. It is not what it's supposed to be all about. Hillary Clinton sells access to the United States government through her foundation. You know, you've heard about the $12 million she wanted from Morocco in order to have her Clinton Global Initiative meeting there. And he was ready to, he did pay it, or was going to, or whatever. He did pay it, I think. And she didn't show up because the election was starting and she knew word would get out. And that's the only reason. And then they spin and lie. Well, it was a scheduling issue. No, it wasn't. But the point is, $12 million, she does speeches for multi-million dollars to Wall Street bankers and basically completely contradicts her public policy. I mean, she's a hypocrite and a liar. And this is what we want. People are so afraid of Donald Trump because the media said, this guy is a wild lunatic train wreck. And then women come out with false accusations. I mean, there's so much evidence in his past that he does not treat women like this. He has, in the average hotel industry, upper-level management that is female is on average about 17%. His is 67%. If you go through, his son did this. He listed out the per capita ratio of every race and opposite sexes in society. In every case, Donald Trump's companies hire and promote a higher percentage of minorities and females than the societal per capita average. In other words, you know, half of the women in America or half of the people in America are female, 50%. Donald's companies have 67% women in upper level management. Okay. You know, Hispanics make up, I don't know what the number is, just say they make up 9% of America. Well, Donald's company has hypothetically 15% as employees, and it goes down the list. He had Asians and Hispanics. The only one he wasn't high on was African-Americans. And they said, look, we just hire, you know, who applies, who's qualified. And apparently there's a reason for that. I don't know. But he's super high on minorities, on average, et cetera. He doesn't care, just like I wouldn't. A person is a person is a person. He doesn't care about religious affiliation. He offers incredible, you know, I wish he'd come out and explain the benefits package in maternity leave and paternity leave for his employees. It's ridiculous. It's beyond anything you could find anywhere. So the second thing, so the first was congressional limits. He set a hiring freeze on all federal employees to reduce federal workforce through attrition, except for military, public safety, and public health. He's smart. Everybody freaks out. Oh, no, he's going to end jobs. Hillary says the government creates jobs. Why is that? It's simple. Socialism. Her public policy is I'm going to give away the world. I'm going to tax the rich. I'm going to follow France. I'm going to make the tax rates go up to 75%. We want a 1% per year tax on assets like France did. You know, folks, that's a problem. I mean, if you have a $250,000 house, that means you'd have a $2,500 a year real estate tax due to the government. And they don't deduct your debt. And it drove France into the ground and people flocked out of that country when they imposed that. If you have $1 million in assets, that means you're going to pay $10,000 a year. And I'm talking, it doesn't matter debt. If you have a house with a loan on it and you have a 401k and an IRA and cars and boats and a cabin, whatever, that tax the rich, you know, tax the asset thing is on all assets over $250,000. That's one thing. The other thing is a tax on the rich up to 75%. In her emails, she admits that Obama's economy is destroying small business. She admits it clearly. And then she comes out and rages about it. It's because people are dumb. I mean, let's face it. The Dunning and Kruger effect, which was proven in a Harvard study, the dumber someone is, the smarter they think they are. And the smarter, when the people get intelligent, they basically, people who are dumb overestimate their own abilities, okay? People who are smart overestimate the abilities of others. Now, that may offend some of you, but here's how it's worded in psychological terms. It says, the Dunning-Kruger effect is a cognitive bias in which low-ability individuals suffer from illusory superiority, mistakenly assessing their ability as much higher than it really is. Dunning and Kruger attributed this bias to a metacognitive inability of those of low ability to recognize their ineptitude and evaluate their ability accurately. Their research also showed the corollary that high ability individuals tend to underestimate or their relative competence and may erroneously assume that tasks which are easy for them are also easy for others. Dunning and Kruger have postulated that the effect is the result of internal illusion in those of low ability and external misperception in those of high ability. The miscalibration of the incompetent stems from an error about self, whereas the miscalibration of the highly competent stems from an error about others. So dumb people think they're smart, and smart people think everybody's smart. Okay? So either way, the dumb people think they're smart. This is what's going on in America. We're not being taught anything in the schools. Our kids are coming out dumber than ever. We're the lowest in the world. We're a laughingstock. We're a shame. All this garbage about illegal immigration and bring them in and make them citizens. And Donald saying the election's rigged and they're saying, no, it's not. Folks, let me tell you, it's rigged. There are so many ways that they do it. They have primary areas where they have huge blocks of ballot machines that are preloaded with false votes. That's why they get way more votes than ever walked in the door. They're preloaded. And then they take them, and when they count the polls, they take counts out of these machines that no one ever saw or touched. The elections are stolen. There's far many ways, more ways that they do this. They have people sitting outside intercepting votes, changing them before they go on through a wireless. On and on it goes, I'm telling you. They encourage. I don't know why they don't bring up the Acorn scandal in Chicago after Obama came up. They literally found a girl who voted 23 times in one day. And they gave her $50 gift certificates every time. They drove a bus. They drove buses around. In one case, they found a couple women who'd voted 14 times in one day. And Acorn drove them around in a bus to different polling stations. Gave them different information to give. Illegal immigrants are shown how to go in and vote without being citizens. Folks, I'm telling you, it doesn't have to happen everywhere in America. Just in the states where they need the electoral votes. This election probably will be stolen. Which, what does that tell you? If an election's close, it means that the conservative side voted a lot more than the Democrat side. Obama, there was all these polls, one after the next, that said that, you know, him and Romney were apart by a few percentage points. And then he wins by a semi-landslide. Why? Corruption. Scary stuff. Bring in the illegal immigrants, folks. It's being stolen. We are on the brink of a revolution. Now, can you imagine? Now they're looking, because the media has done such an effective job of destroying Donald Trump, they're looking like we may lose the Senate and the House potentially, at least the Senate. Imagine this. Hillary Clinton being able to absolutely decimate America. She's got the entire media on her side, folks. I'm sorry, but this is a severe, serious concern. You and everyone you know has got to vote. I really, really, really have no respect for people that say I'm not going to vote. You've got to vote against something. Not for it, against it. Trump's not. He's an effective businessman, okay? Who cares if he's a brash, bold New Yorker? I don't care. And to be frank, the one video that came out from 95 or 2005 about his comments about women, he was egged on a bus. Didn't know he was wired up. And he's a brash New Yorker. He's not a believer, okay? And you go, oh, well, yeah, but I want a believer. You bet we do. I would love a believer. But he's not. And you do not have to be a believer to have wisdom. Now, I'm not saying he's the wisest man around. But when it comes to business and running a company or running a country, trust me, the guy, it'll go right. All these people that have turned against him, they'll jump right back under his wings as soon as he gets in. So real quick, he's got the hiring freeze on employees federally. He's got new federal regulations for every new federal regulation, two existing regulations must be eliminated. Beautiful. This nation creates, if you add up the city, or in other words, municipalities, state, county, and federal laws at all different levels, we make 3,000 new laws a day. 3,000 new laws a day. That's unbelievable. You think about that. That's over a million. That's almost 1.1 million laws a year, folks. You think those are all purposeful, good laws? Everybody's like, there ought to be a law. There doesn't need to be a law. If you trip and fall in a parking lot, is it really someone else's fault? In some cases, yes. But most of the time, if you trip on a curb because they didn't paint it yellow, or if you trip over a rock, I mean, really? You know, I mean, that's the problem, is we blame everybody for every single thing that happens. Does God exist? Is he in control? Does he allow things to happen? You know, you gotta ask yourself all these questions. I mean, if we sue a man for everything that happens to us, where's God? Nowhere. It doesn't exist. There are blatant negligence and issues like that for sure. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, it's just, you know, it's getting out of control is what it is. His next contract, a 5-year ban on White House and congressional officials becoming lobbyists after they leave government office. Why is that? Folks, power. They broker power. They've got these inside connections where they get out of office. And they make millions and millions and millions of dollars a year brokering power because they have connections. So that's what he says about its special interests. Special interests are a problem. That's why 1% of society, the LGBT, has 98% control because of lobbyists. And it may even get to the point now. See, right now it's at a point where if they get something on somebody, they can make them do things for them under fear of threat. If they don't have that authority, they won't do that. They won't be able to do that as much. Lifetime ban on White House officials lobbying on behalf of a foreign government. White House officials, people that leave the White House and then lobby for a foreign government. That's a conflict of interest, folks, right there. And his sixth one is a complete ban on foreign lobbyists raising money for American elections. Obama's election got over $500 million from Gaza, from the heart of terrorists and Muslims. Why in the world would foreign dignitaries want to invest into our elections? It's very simple, isn't it? Because they get favoritism. We've done things in our generation that are beyond the pale of anything our founding fathers would have dreamt. We've sold our soul to Islam. We've sold our soul to the Middle East. Are you kidding me? Who the hell are we? You know, are we a bunch of Muslim sympathizers? No, we're a Judeo-Christian rooted country. People go, well, there's no freedom of religion. You bet there's freedom of religion. And guess what provides freedom of religion? Christianity. No other religion provides it. I mean, there are different sects and types of Christianity. We see, there's all kinds of different things. And there's some massive business-like cults that disguise themselves as Christianity. But if you really look at what those huge churches are doing as far as charity work, it's pathetic. They're just constantly having missionaries try to bring more people into the church. They're not out. They're not running hospitals and huge charitable organizations. They're a big business just sucking in the money. The basic Bible-believing Christian church believes in freedom of thought and freedom of religion. Christianity liberates a man. Nothing liberates man like Christianity. Nothing. Countries that have had revolt, you know, that have thrown off the shackles of centuries and centuries of abuse have done it after a spiritual revival has spread across the country. Even Rwanda, before the slaughtering of the Tutsis by the Hutus. The Tutsis were slaves. The missionaries went and ministered to them, and they became believers, and they raised themselves up, and they overcame the Hutus, and they had a beautiful government. Problem is, they got lazy. A government is not a government without a military. And what America needs is the biggest, strongest military on planet Earth so no one messes with us. We need to draw lines in the sand. We cannot have the Obamas of the world. Folks, I'm telling you, this man has sold it out beyond your wildest dreams. His mindset is crazy. He shuts down NASA's space program and then tells them that they're ministers to Islam. And he says things about Islam having the greatest effect on in American history and on the development of our country. Things that are just ridiculous, that just make no sense. You know, I mean, we've got a problem. And you need to realize that. And I mean, granted, I'm sure you're aware of it. And just, you know, the thing is, folks, pick up the phone, call your friends, call your family, tell them, what do they got to lose by voting for Trump? You know, I mean, Obama, the future must not belong to those who slander the prophet of Islam. The sweetest sound I've ever known is the Muslim call to prayer. We will convey our deepest appreciation for the Islamic faith, which has done so much over the centuries to shape the world, including our own country. And he says, as a student of history, I know civilization's debt is to Islam. And then he says, Islam has a proud tradition of tolerance. Islam has always been an important part of America. These are all Obama quotes. We will encourage more Americans to study in Muslim countries. In other words, we want our Americans to go to Muslim countries. I made it clear, quote Obama, that America is not and never will be at war with Islam, really. You know, and on it goes. I don't need to spend time there. Now, let's talk about Hillary real briefly here. In her emails, the Clinton campaign says clearly that it committed voter fraud in 2008. It believed that Obama's campaign was guilty of committing voter fraud in the 2008 primary battle. The email chain from May of 15 suggests that then-Senator Obama's campaign, quote, flooded the caucuses with ineligible voters during the 2008 primaries. The email also was seeking support for James Lyons and Michael Driver, who are a pair of lawyers close to the Clintons, to organize lawyers for caucus protection to prevent the same type of fraud happening in this race. Now they're worried that Trump will do it. Yeah, right. MSNBC producers basically have emails that they're in the tank for Hillary as an amazing, intelligent woman, and that they brag that they've spun debates in favor of her and all this stuff. You know, paid speeches to Goldman Sachs for huge amounts of money. And then, you know, she basically directly contradicts all of her own stuff. You can read the transcripts. You know, she's done this illegal coordination with super PACs. She's been given questions prior to major debates. You know, she's admits in emails that they've done everything they can to cover up Bill's sex life. Her campaign director, John Podesta, was saying that he wished that the shooter in San Bernardino was a white guy shooting Muslims rather than a Muslim guy shooting whites. You know, she has emails that admits that she's afraid that jihadists will enter the U.S. among the refugees. You know, she badmouths Catholics, calls them backwards. You know, they must be attracted to the systematic thought and severely backwards gender relations and must be totally unaware of this Christian democracy. Right. This is not a democracy. It's a republic. And she says many of the most powerful elements of the conservative movement are all Catholics from the SC and think tanks. Well, I think that means, I don't know what that SC means, maybe South Carolina, and think tanks to the media and social groups. They must be attracted to the systematic thought of severely backwards gender relations and totally unaware of Christian democracy. I imagine they think it's the most socially acceptable politically conservative religion. Their rich friends wouldn't understand if they became evangelicals, so they just become Catholics. And then it talks about all the work they did to keep Elizabeth Warren down, Bernie Sanders down. She got town hall questions in advance. You know, all the lies about turning over emails and destroying them were actually in there. Can you imagine what was in the 33,000 deleted emails? Can you imagine? It would be over, folks. Over. I'm just shocked. You know, she calls, they talk about the Latinos as the needy Latinos and uses foul language. And it goes on and on. You know, fake, they said that they were going to put fake Trump ads out. They were nervous about Bill's paid Wall Street speeches, and on it goes. And that in 2008, she was pushing, you know, the Muslim narrative against Obama. And just, you know, corruption abounds. She's very dishonest. Very, very dishonest. And I think it's important for us to understand. Folks, here's where I'm at. No matter who gets in office, we got issues, okay? I'm not here to just ring the bell and be negative. But I guess I'm the guy. Call me the watcher on the wall. I'm telling you the truth the way it is. We can discuss the election. It ain't going to be over. I'll tell you what. Trump gets in office, it's going to get dirty. Hillary gets in office, it's going to get corrupt. Trump gets in. You know, cleaning up a mess like that isn't pretty. Who's the guy to do it? Trump. I want you to think of something. In the Bible, what does the word Trump mean? Okay? In the Bible, a trump is a warning. It's your last warning. That's it. Trouble's coming, right? Now, can God use an ungodly man to do his work? Yes, he can. God says that he puts people into power, he takes them out of power. Would God possibly want somebody that's completely out of Wall Street, out of D.C., that's not politically attached in any way? Sure he would. Trump. The Trump in the Bible means it's your last call. In a moment, in 1 Corinthians 15, it says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound and the dead will rise. That's last minute stuff, isn't it? 1 Thess, we all know this. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. The word trump has a couple different definitions. In games, card games, a trump card beats them all. It's the top best of all, right? So his name's got some interesting connotations. And I know people say, well, it was changed from Trump PH in 1902 or whatever. Fine. It is what it is. It doesn't matter if it was changed. But the point is, it means a card. And here's what Trump means in the Merriam-Webster dictionary. A card of a suit, any of whose cards will win over a card that is not of the suit. It's called a trump card. It trumps a particular hand. Now, here's another one. Number two, a decisive overriding factor or final resource. Think about that. The second definition, a decisive overriding factor or final resource. Is it a coincidence his name's Trump? And guess what number three definition is? A dependable and exemplary person. Could God have chosen Donald Trump? I believe he did. It's a trump. It's our last warning. It's our last chance. This is my belief. Now, just because he's coming in doesn't mean it's all going away, folks. And I'll tell you, I haven't been here to talk about it. Politics are out of control in the world, the geopolitical. You need to have your assets and precious metals. This is what I do, yes, but it's true, okay? We build beautiful portfolios. We help people secure their wealth. We call it wealth and capital preservation. You want a hard asset that's biblically sound from the beginning? You call Coins Plus, 444-0044, or toll-free 877-TAP-COIN. It's not about sitting around going, I wish I'd have did this then. I wish I'd have did that. That is not how it works. Do you think people that become highly successful stop because the market changed? I like real estate. I deal in it. Do I stop dealing in a building because it's worth twice what it was 10 years ago? No. Because it's an asset. Gold and silver, livestock, real estate, human life, and precious stones are those things that are biblically attributed as true wealth. They're big sectors. I always explain that. It's not just gold and silver. It's not just raw dirt. You know, it's everything. You know, real estate can be, a black Tahitian pearl farm in the South Pacific. I mean, it's natural resource, right? But if it's natural and it's part of that sector, and that's what we help people with, the one sector God created that is true wealth, true money, you want to preserve and protect, that's now. 2008, people lost well over 50% of their money or more. Can you afford to do that again? If you've got an IRA, 401k, and you're like, well, I'm already down, I've already lost money, I'm really not doing that good, get ready. Because when they start to tweak rates, it doesn't matter who's coming in. Hillary's in trouble. She's not going to be popular, and the Fed will start turning the dial, folks. It's going to get nasty. The world's going to start it's going to start crumbling. Wars are going to break out. We could have people on our soil in years. I mean, it's bad. Trump, on the other hand, he'll shake the system, but they're not going to like him either, and they're going to mess with the economy. Either way, your paper is going to, it's got to hyperinflate. They've been creating this stuff for so long. When Hillary says she's doing all these things without, quote, increasing the deficit, do you know what that means? What that means to a politician is we're now spending $4.5 trillion per year. She's saying that won't increase. She doesn't mean that it's going to stay flat. She means that I won't spend more than Obama has. No one could even dream of spending more than Obama has. It's out of control. Folks, it's coming. Big inflation, big devaluations, possible big dollar resets. You need to be buying precious metals-based assets, hard assets. Semi-numismatic coins are great. It's all going to hold. It always has. It always will. Don't mess around. Do what you have to do. On the other hand, we always buy and we always sell all forms of coins and precious metals. If you need money, we're here. Okay? It's your bank. We're well capitalized. We always are buying and we always are selling. We're always available. So don't ever be, I've heard people say, oh, I feel embarrassed selling. No, it's your wealth. It's your money. If you need it, you bring it in. Don't be ashamed. If you've got a portfolio you're curious about, bring it in. If you bought it 20 years ago, whatever. Estates, bring them in. We'll look through them. We'll figure out what you got. We'll help you figure out what to do with it. That's what we do. Again, Coins Plus, 444-0044. Toll free, 877-TAP-COIN. Through our website at coinsplus.com, we have all of our previously recorded radio shows available for you. If you want to listen to an old one or pick up. And again, sorry I've been gone. You know I had a lot going on. Appreciate the loyalty. Really would appreciate prayers for our family. Pray for miracles, folks. I've seen them. It's true. It can happen. You got to believe. And you know, miracles come from mistakes. Miracles don't happen whenever. If you want a miracle from God, you better be ready to go through some suffering and a valley. Okay. So anybody who's got that prayer power out there, we appreciate it. We appreciate it, period. For me, for our business, you know, we are under attack because I'm on the Christian radio, no doubt. You wouldn't believe some of the stuff we get exposed to because of that. So just anything you can do to cover some prayer, we really appreciate it. Positive reviews are helpful too online. Thanks again for tuning in. Take care. God bless. I will be back Wednesday. Bye-bye.